I haven't seen or spoken to my father, my biological father, in almost 26 years. The last time I saw him, it was for maybe like 3 seconds. It was at my college graduation, and I was walking to my seat, and there was sort of like crowds of people watching us as we walked to our seat, and he was in the crowd, and I saw him, and that was it. I went to sit in my seat and didn't see him after the graduation, nothing after that. The last time I directly spoke to my father was maybe a year or two before that. He had already left our house, and so for a couple years, and so I'd barely seen him ever since he left. He left around my, I want to say, junior or senior year of high school. So this is towards the end of college, the last time I had a conversation with him, he'd called me over the phone, and for some reason, he wanted to give me his opinion on what my career would be. Hint, it's not what I'm doing right now, but for some reason, he wanted to share that with me. Basically, that's been it for almost 26 years now. Last time I had any sort of verbal conversation with him, last time I saw him in person. You know, it's why the topic today, so I'm talking about God as everlasting Father. I'm just gonna be honest, it's an aspect of God that initially when I start thinking about it or talking about it, it always feels a little tricky for me to think about, to talk about. Clearly, I did not have a good example of a father growing up. It wasn't great when he was there, and obviously, then when he left, he was gone. He wasn't a good father. I've spent most of my life now without a father. And so I find myself initially feeling a little bit at a deficit when I sort of think and talk about this topic. The thought that comes into my mind that I always had to fight off is that, how can I trust that I know what it means for God to be a father? How can I trust it, given the fact that I don't really have examples of that in any sustained way in my own life? And I know many of you sympathize with that because you've also had really poor experiences with your own father. Sadly, I know some of you had great experiences, praise God. It feels like more and more of us have actually had very poor experiences. But also know for some of you, this hits more personally because for you, it's the realization that you've been the poor father. Thinking about this idea of God as father hits you in a sense that like you've been a poor father and it still affects your relationships with your kids. It still affects the ways in which you relate to them. So this is why I think it's a topic obviously we as Christians, talk about God as Father, we pray, pray to the Father, all those things. But if we really sort of sit down and think about it, I think it can be initially hard to grab a hold of, hard to sort of really sort of nail down and say, okay, what is this? What are we talking about here? So how to begin? here's where I'm going to begin, and I think it's the most basic place for us to begin, and it's at the heart of the gospel story. The heart of the gospel story is that Jesus came for our sake. He was sent by God for our sake. The verse we're looking at, Isaiah 9:6, it begins with this. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Jesus, the Son, comes, is sent by God for us, so that by faith in Jesus, we are saved. And we're not just saved, we are brought into a new place. We're brought into the family of God. That means then, because of Jesus, because the Son was given to us, was sent for us, we have a permanent relationship with God. That through Jesus, God, the Lord God, is no longer just only the Lord God to us. He is now permanently our Father. He is now God, our Father. And that's important to say from the jump because it means that God becoming our Father is a fact. It's a truth, right? Independent of anything we've done, independent of anything that we could do. You believe in Jesus, right? And you're part of God's family. God is your Father. Doesn't matter your history, your background, the ups and downs of all those things. A fact is true the moment you believe in Jesus. Part of God's family. God is your Father. And I find that a good place to start this morning, because then God being the Father means that is a fact, means then there's truth, things we can say about God as Father, things that even if we struggle to immediately feel them, they're still true. They're still true and real. And part of the journey is how God, I would argue, helps us not just know those things are true, but feel them and realize them. And so that's something that I think is helpful, that we can count on these things for God to be true, but also know that God is also going to be part of the journey in helping us feel them. And that's what I'll sort of be doing this morning. I mean, that for me at least, that feel part has happened as God has said, here's who I am, but here's how you can know it's true. It's happened as I've been blessed to be part of healthy church community for a while now, and God has, through many different lives of different people, different men, showed me examples of what a father is. It's like every single time I encounter those examples, it's like God is saying, you see that? You're around that? Guess what? I'm like that. I'm like that, but even more. So what I want to sort of take you on this morning is to give you these truths about God as everlasting Father. God is a father. It's a fact. Here are five things about the fact that God is Father. Five truths about God that we can count on. But then, for at least for me, for some of the ways in which God has confirmed that to help me feel those truths in many different illustrations and examples of people's lives. So that's where we're going. God is everlasting Father. Full stop. Here's five things we should say about that. Five truths. Number one, he's always there. He is always there. God the Father never moves out. He never leaves the family. He never leaves you. Let me take you to John. This is John chapter 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples. So a disciple of Jesus is anyone who follows him. So it includes us, right? Here's what he says to his disciples. Am I good here? Yep. John 14, starting... go back. John 14, starting in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it never sees it, neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit. And notice the main thing about the Spirit. It's so that God will be with you forever. Specifically, to live with you. To be with you. Because God is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, right? The Spirit of truth. And to have the Spirit of truth is the confirmation that you have a life with God. God comes and lives with you, and he doesn't go. He doesn't move out. We have God with us. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Notice the specific promise that the passage begins with. You won't be orphans. In other words, you won't feel like you don't have a father. You won't feel like you don't have someone like that in your life. How is that possible? Jesus, specifically the risen Jesus, because Jesus rose from the dead, he is with the Father. And because we're in Jesus, we're with God. We're with God the Father. In other words, God the Father, because of our faith in Jesus and we're in Jesus, we have him and we will always have him. He will never move out. He will always be there for us as a father. Hebrews 13, verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Our heavenly dad is always going to be home. You walk through the door and you know he's going to be there. There's never any chance of him moving out. There's nothing we can say, there's nothing you could do that will make him move out of the house. Here's a fact, God is the everlasting Father. He will always be there. Second fact, God as everlasting Father means he always pays attention to us and is always interested in us. Now, I've been around fathers who, they're around, they're there, but they're like checked out, right? They're there, they're present, but they only really notice you when it suits them. Maybe you're doing something that they like, right? You have a shared hobby, and that's good. But as long as you share that, then he'll pay attention. But for the most part, he's not paying attention. He's not interested. Here's one of those places where God has sort of confirmed it of something different. This was my experience with my father. I didn't really share many of the same hobbies, and so he was not very much interested in me. But yet, you know, this actually happened recently. I was talking to a dad here, and he was talking about the things his kids like, the things they're doing, they're creating. And I thought to myself, it's clear, like, this is a dad that likes his kids, that pays attention to them, who's interested and excited in the kind of kid they are. The kind of kid they are and the kind of person they're growing up to be. He's curious, excited, and just eager to share with me specifically about his kids and what they're doing. And it's one of those moments where literally, like, the thought came to me after I walked away. God was saying, like, you see that? That's how I am, but even more. But even more. We know that God's created us, he's made us, but the wonderful thing is God created us and made us, and he didn't walk away and say, like, all right, I'm done my job. God created us and made us and remains interested in us. He notices us and pays attention to us, specifically us as his sons and daughters. He's interested and invested in you, specifically you. Here's a passage I want to point us to for this particular truth. This is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. So, like we just said, he's present. He's home. But notice how he's present when you walk into the door. When you walk into the living room, he's sitting there. Here's what he does. He's a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. The Bible wants you to know that you have an everlasting Father who is always happy to be around you, and specifically you. He sings over you. I mean, you've been around maybe a dad with a newborn child, particularly, especially that first child, and he's holding that child, and it's the excitement, the joy over his face, and holding a newborn child, a new member of their family. That's how God is like over you. That you can imagine yourself being held by God, and the face of God over you is he's singing a beautiful song. He's excited and interested specifically in you, that he's adopted you into his family. He looks on you and shows you love specifically because it's you. Understand, God is interested in you and invests in you, not because of certain abilities that you have, certain talents that you have, certain looks that you have. God isn't interested in investing in you because you remind him of his favorite angel. Right? Think about this. Think about this. The angels, even the angels, don't get the love and attention of God as Father that you do. They relate to God as God, but only we uniquely can relate to God as Father, as the one who sent his son to save us. That means a specific interest and attention to you that only a father gives to those who belong to him. He's excited over you because he distinctly made you and chose you before the foundations of the world to belong to him, to be part of his family, so that he might be your father and you might be his child. Number three, God as everlasting Father means he is always approachable. He's always approachable. Is dad in a good mood? That was my dominant thought in my teen years. I remember throughout junior high school, my father comes in, and I was sort of judging, okay, is he in a good mood? Is he in a bad mood? Am I going to be able to get this paper signed for this field trip? Or maybe, you know, I'll have to wait till mom gets home, right? I was always sort of evaluating whether I could approach him based on, like, how he was acting. Everything was determined by that. But since then, and it took a while for me to realize, well, actually, like, that's not what fathers do. That there's fathers who allow their kids to approach them, who want their kids to approach them. Again, being part of a community like here, and particularly, I mean, you just notice some of our great-grandparents around here. I mean, Pastor Bob, Gary, Isaiah. Their grandkids come up, and one of the things that God has blessed me with is watching their grandkids come up to them and they are welcome. They're encouraged to come. They know they can come and know, like, that they have a father, they have a granddad who will pay attention to them. Again, another place where God has said, you see that, Ramon? I'm like that, but even more. But even more. God never has a bad day. He's never in a bad mood. He's never too busy or distracted. He's never thinking, let me just finish this article before I talk to you. He's never saying, you know, well, is this something I want to, I'm interested in? Or is this something you want to do? Because I need to finish what I'm interested in. He never talks that way. He never thinks that way. Instead, here's what God wants us to know about approaching him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible wants you to see God on his throne and not think, well, did I bring enough so that he will pay attention? God wants us to walk confidently into that room, right up to the throne, not in the side, right? Not knocking on a door, open the door, walk right to the throne, right in front of the Father, and know, I've been waiting for you. What do you need? Here's Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. The key words there is, I called and you answered. God is everlasting Father means you call and you know he's going to answer. You know what mood is in. The mood is always, where's my kid? I want to hear from him. I want to hear from him because he's my kid and I want a relationship with him. God's everlasting Father, a fact is that he is always approachable. Number four, God as everlasting Father means he always keeps his promises. He's a father who always keeps his promises. You know, I'm in my mid-40s now, and yet I still remember the things my father promised me that never happened. Now, intellectually, I realize, like, why he didn't follow through on these things. I'm not particularly expecting him to. There's the timetable on some of those things has long passed. But emotionally, there's still a lingering ache. I have to admit that. Because when someone has the title as father in your life, like psychologically, you can't help but want to count on them. Right? Anyone who's has that role, who's adopted that role, I'm going to be your father, you want to count on them. You want to depend on them. And when they let you down, like that's an ache that's there. You can't help it. Like I've tried to. I'm like, it doesn't really matter. But it hurts. It always is going to hurt. Here's one of those things, actually, I saw from my mom. I began to realize how, in contrast to my father, she always followed through on what she said. Whatever she said, she would do. She told me she would do it, she would do it. And God began to use that as a window for me to realize, parents can follow through on their promises. They can say things, and I see their effort to do that as much as it's within their power, right? And in all that, again, these experiences that we have among one another are windows into what we have with God. Yet again, God's saying, this is who I am. We have a Father in the Lord God who always keeps his promises. Get this, who does everything he says he will do. Everything. The first moment you pray to him, God save me, he does it. Every single moment after that, you look to him. You ask him, and if he's promised it, he will do it. He will do it. This is Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. Here's the testimony from Joshua. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word. What God did with Israel, he continues to do with his people. Not one word. Every promise. He fulfills. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. You pick a promise from God, the promise to give you wisdom, the promise to save and redeem you, the promise to answer your prayers, the promise to pour his love and grace into your life. You pick a promise, and the Bible tells you that promise is yes and amen with God every single time. Yes and amen. You no longer have to doubt or wonder if God's going to follow through what he tells you. If he promised it, it's yes and amen. It's yes and amen for all who can look on him as Father and call him their Father through Jesus. That's why, and one of the reasons why we can be sure of that, that he follows through his promises, is because of the kind of God that he is. Here's who God fundamentally is. Hebrews 10, verse 23. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, what's it say? He's faithful. He's faithful. What makes God, especially an everlasting Father, is just by very nature, he's faithful. Like he always keeps the faith. He always keeps our faith. He's always someone when we hear the words from him and they hit our ears and we process them in our brains and we wonder, well, can that be true? The Bible says it is already true. In some cases, it was already fulfilled. He keeps his promises because of who he is, and that's why we can depend on him as an everlasting Father. He shows himself to be an everlasting Father because he keeps his promises. Lastly, God as everlasting Father means he will always do what's good for you. He will always do what's good for you. Matthew 7, starting verse 9. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? So at the heart of being a father, a parent in general, is that you try to do good things for your kid, right? If you can't do that, I mean, then you probably should not have that title, right? It's not a good look if, for example, you try to poison your kid when he asks for food, right? I think at the very least we realize that something's gone very amiss at that point. But here's then Jesus' main point. If you then who are evil, and he's talking to people who are sinful, don't follow God, but if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So here's where God the Father really stands out, because he, above all fathers, even the best fathers, is able to give good things to his children. To give us exactly the good things we need. Because God is God, so he has the wisdom, he has the power, he has the motive, he has desire, he has all that's needed to give us exactly the good things that we need. What kind of good things? Everything that we need so that we can be fully his children. And he can be fully our God as Father. So that means God is going to give us every good thing so we can have the faith that we need in this life. He's going to give us every good thing to give us the peace we need in this life. He's going to give us all the good things we need so we might have the love and joy we need as his child and as we grow as his child. The encouragement here is that we can come confidently to God. I mean, this is all the things that we just said before. Come confidently to God, but know that God specifically is ready to give us exactly the good things that help us be more secure and more certain that we are his child and he is our Father. And that is always going to be the case. Every good thing to make us more sure of our relationship with God, every good thing to fill us more of his Spirit, every good thing to help us be grown up into Jesus in a way that allows us to follow God and be his witnesses in this world. Every good thing. We don't have to wonder where we're going to get it from. We don't have to think like maybe I'll get it from school or college. Maybe someday, one day, a mentor or coach will pay attention to me. Maybe somehow I'll fill in the gaps that are missing to help me have the good things I need to live in this life. God says, I will give you those good things because I'm your Father and I will stay your Father. Every good thing. He gives us because of who he is, our everlasting Father. So, five truths about God as everlasting Father. And the thing to remember in all the things we just listed is that adjective everlasting. Right? And all the things that we talked about, let's remember, God is always those things. It's not like he sort of got his act together eventually. We can know that God is everlasting in his ways. He's always all the things that we talked about. It's why in each of the points I listed this morning, I used the word always. Always this way. He's always present. He's always interested in us. He's always approachable. He's always keeping his promise. He's always doing good for us. So if we think about this at the vertical level, what that means, our us and God, our relationship with God, what it means is that as I believe in Jesus, as I step into my relationship with God, it's not going to be determined by me or based in me. It's determined by God. It's based in God. The choice to be a child of someone was not a choice you made. And in some cases that worked out, in other cases it didn't work out, as I've been sharing my own story. Here's a case where it always works out. And thank God for that. That we step into a relationship where God already, since the beginning of the time, determined to be your good and everlasting Father. And what that does then for how you sort of relate to God, I mean, it reassures you. It tells you this is true, and it encourages you as you relate to God. It means that you are already now part of a forever family, a forever relationship with a forever loving and good Father, and that means I have forever to grow in that relationship. One of the things that's helped me is to realize that wherever I sort of feel the gaps of trying to figure out and understand it, God is like, that's okay, I'm always your Father. It may feel like this, but it will grow into this. Why? Because we have forever in this. God being this way means that he will regularly over and over show us all the things that show him to be the Father. Every time I doubt he's approachable, he'll say, don't worry, I'll show you. Over and over and over across the years, I'll show you that I follow the promises I give you. I show you that I give you good things. What I want you to grab a hold of this morning is to realize God is your everlasting Father if you've believed it in Jesus and you have forever to realize that. To walk with him forever in that, and to know that since beginning of time, he's related to you in this way, and he's ready to relate with you till the end of time and beyond. God's everlasting Father means we are a part of that forever. But this has, of course, application at sort of what I'm going to call the horizontal level, where we sort of live within this world. You know, as we, and I'm thinking specifically as we relate to our earthly fathers, and as we seek to be good parents, and specifically for you men, as you seek to be fathers. Because yes, the reality is I still have my fears and doubts about whether I could be a good father given my personal history. I mean, I've had so much bad experience with it. I still sort of think to myself, well, how do I know for sure? So here's where the Lord, because he's a good everlasting father, here's where God meets me in my fears and doubts and gives me the confidence that I need. And I want you to understand what he does. God meets me there, not by magically taking away my story, my story of an absent father. I think sometimes some of us come to God and maybe we're frustrated with God. Maybe you're frustrated with God because you're like, this happened to me, I experienced this, I was this way, and we want God to like time travel and take it away. That doesn't happen. We know this doesn't happen. My absent father is a permanent part of my story. The fact that I have not had a father for most of my life, and I will likely not have a father for most of my life, for the rest of my life, that is real. That's part of my story. There's no time travel that can take that away. That's not what God does. God doesn't eliminate our stories or your story. Doesn't eliminate my story, your story. Doesn't take away the pain of the failures of our fathers or your own failures as a father. What God does do is meet us within our story. He meets us to heal us and restore us by coming and meeting us right in the dark place. That's why we call it redemption. It's called redemption because God doesn't take away the dark parts of our stories. God comes and joins us in the dark parts. He meets me in my darkness. He meets me in my doubts. He meets me in my fears and uncertainties. And what God does is meets me and stays with me there, but says, look, Vermont, we don't have to stay there. He begins to nudge me out into the light, into a better story, into his story. He meets me where I'm at and heals and restores me day by day, slowly over my entire adult life. into a different place. Because, look, many of us, many people are still living in the past. You're still living in your story. You're trapped. You're unable to get over what happened to you, the failures of what happened to you. You're not able to get over how you were, perhaps. But it doesn't have to be that way. By God's grace, I and you can live in the present. Your past is there. It's your past. It won't go away, but you don't have to live there. You don't have to live there. I can look back at the past, but also know that I live in the present, and I'm sure and confident about the present, and sure and confident about my future. Why? Because now my past and present is defined by God, specifically God as everlasting Father. That tells me who I am. That tells me who I am today, and that tells me who I will be tomorrow. It tells me, here's what you can be sure about. You have a relationship with God as Father, and so that means you'll know what it means for God to be Father, and it means you'll know what it means for you to be a Father. It means you'll know what it is to be a Father now and in the future. I see you past, but you're back there. I don't live in you. I look back at you. I live here in the present, and in the present, I've got God, everlasting Father, and he's always going to be with me. He helps me look back in the past and admit what's there and feel what's there and be with me and it's there, but know I am no longer there. I'm in a different place. I'm in a different chapter, and that chapter has God all over it. And all who are with me and everyone who I'm related to and connected to, by God's grace, they'll also have that too. Again, because, I mean, on my own, well, sure. There's a lot to doubt. There's a lot of reasons I should be statistic in many ways. I have all the markers. But there's a reason why that's not the case. And it all points back again to who God is. The goodness of who he is, the certainty of who he is, the goodness and certainty of the fact that he is our everlasting Father, and he's the truly best everlasting Father we could ever need. Here's a story I invite us into. Here's the light that I call us into. I hope that I'm still trying to walk more and more into, and I hope by God's grace you do as well. There's a lot that happens and has happened to us that can make us doubt who God is and doubt who we are. Those doubts are real. Let's hear them. Let's not ignore them. Let's hear them and listen to them with God whispering in our ear, but remember who you are today and know where you're going tomorrow. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this time and for Jesus. And thank you, our God, that in spite of our own failures or the failures of those in our lives, you are our everlasting Father. And thank you for all that means. Thank you, our God, that you are the very best Father who came and sought us out in the darkness, who sacrificed in order to bring us into your family. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you made the way for this possible, that through Jesus, the Son, we now have God the Father. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for that. I pray for how that reassures me, encourages me, and all those, Lord, who are here, who need to know that they have a God in heaven who loves them even more than the angels. Lord, I pray for any of those here who have not known that love, experienced that love, Lord God, that they would pray today and know already they have you as their Father. And Lord, I pray for how that just helps us in our own journeys as we try to figure out what it is to be good fathers and mothers, Lord, to be good parents, and our doubts about that, Lord. The ways in which we get trapped in the sons and daughters that we were in the past, and the failures of that, Lord, or maybe the fathers and mothers we were in the past and the failures of that. Lord, free us by reminding us, Lord, that you meet us in the jail, but you take us into freedom. And it's in freedom that we live. And so, Lord, maybe even today, Lord, move us more into that. Move someone here more into that. Grab a hold of them and take them to where they'll be. But even better, well, even more, Lord God, give us a clear picture of where we're going. That's the hope, Lord, knowing that here's where we used to be, but here's where we are now, and here's where we're going. And where we're going, Lord God, is forever with you. We experience it now and know it's only going to get better. So, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you accomplish and do these things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.